Today, we are going to spend some time looking at the gifts from God and our spiritual maturity. Let's read from our Bible and look at what gift is by reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 through 7. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was a letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Paul said that he gives thanks to God for the grace that was given to the Corinthians, that in every way they were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge. Reading from Paul's words, I'm sure there are a lot of well-spoken and knowledgeable people in the city. There may be a lot of people who know how to lead Bible studies, who have the gifts to teach. In verse 7 it says, so that you are not lacking in any gifts. We can see that the Corinthians were not lacking in any gifts. Let us now read from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 3, to read about what spiritual life is. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not yet ready. For you are still of the flesh, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? Paul says here, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. They can't even take solid food, and can only be fed with milk, for you weren't ready for it, and even now you are still not ready. If we were to compare Paul's attitude in chapter 1 and chapter 3, there's a huge difference between the two. In chapter 1, Paul gave thanks to God, for they are not lacking in anything, and that they were enriched in every way and lacking in nothing. But in chapter 3, he calls them infants in Christ, and that they were like infants. And they're still like infants, without much growth. It goes on to verse 3 and says, they were in the flesh and behaving in a human way because there is jealousy and strife among them. We can see from the two passages that having spiritual gifts does not equal to spiritual maturity. Brothers and sisters, if a person has jealousy and strife within them, even if their gifts have increased, it doesn't mean that their life is growing at the same pace. Jealousy and strife is a stronghold in our life, but yet it is something that is often overlooked. Paul calls these as part of the flesh, and that their life cannot bear much fruit that comes from the Lord. So what is this fruit of life? Let us read from John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Life is in him, and this life brings life to men. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. This light is supposed to bring revelation to us in our life. A great example where spiritual gifts is not a representation of one's life, we can look at one great example in the Old Testament, Samson in Judges 14 to 16. Interesting enough, if we were to pay close attention to the different judges throughout the book, all these judges have some sort of weaknesses or shortcoming in their character. But God's Spirit was poured out on them, and they became instruments of God to do the wondrous work that God have empowered them to do. If you know Samson's story, he was consecrated from the womb to God as a Nazarite. And there are many things that a Nazarite is forbidden to do. I am sure Samson was taught by his mother what it means to be a Nazarite, but time after time, Samson played with fire. For example, in 2 Corinthians, it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. In Judges 14, Samson followed his fleshly being and takes a Philistine woman as his wife. Later in the book, he sees a prostitute and he lays with her. In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, it talked about the vows of a Nazirite and that they should never go near a dead body. Not only did Samson go near the dead lion that he killed, he put his hands in and ate the honey inside the carcass and also gave some to his parents. We can conclude that Samson probably thinks that, I will eat to my heart's desire. I will do as I please. Who cares about the vows and commandments to the Lord? Even though Samson was so disobedient, he fought many battles and the Lord still empowered him to have victory in his battles. We may be able to infer that his victories and success caused him to be prideful and arrogant, which led him to not fear the Lord. And at the end of his life, we can see that he died miserably. If we are being led by our fleshly beings, our eyes are easily drawn to the things of the world. Looking at Samson's interaction with Delilah, who bounded him multiple times, hoping to turn him over to the lords of Philistines. Samson eventually surrendered to quote-unquote love, and the Lord left him, and he was captured by the Philistines. If we have the gifts from God, but yet we do not fear God, and we don't take his words seriously, it is easy for us to turn out like Samson. Our gifts will make us feel like we are not doing too bad and that God is with us. If God's not with us, then how can we be so powerful and effective in our roles? Brothers and sisters, sometimes it's not because we are good so God is with us and God is blessing us. It may be that our parents were God-fearing and God is a faithful God, and he will bless us as their descendants. God chooses his instruments, and sometimes it's through our weaknesses in our character to carry out his work. If you look closely at Samson's story, none of his killing of the Philistines were for God's purpose. They were all either for his own personal gains or his anger's lashing out. Samson was powerful and God used his hands to kill many Philistines. But yet, there was nothing in his life for us to admire or look up to. Brothers and sisters, God may have blessed us to have the gifts to serve the body of Christ, and even our prayers may be answered when we pray, but this is a gift from God, and a gift cannot be earned by our good works or performances. We need to be extremely cautious to not be like Samson, who paid attention to the results and accomplishments of his killing and victories over the Philistines. Brothers and sisters, our accomplishments can sometimes blindside us, thinking that we are on the right track and that we must be doing something right. But instead, we need to pay close attention to whether or not we are delighting ourselves in the Lord and doing the thing that he wants us to do. You know, sometimes it's safer for us to not have any gifts, so that we don't fall into these types of self-righteousness and pride, and only give according to what has been measured out for us in our present stage in life. Brothers and sisters, our life, as it grows more abundantly in Christ, will develop gifts that will allow us to do greater things. There was a young man named Demas. God wanted to use Demas for his kingdom, but Demas considered himself to be like Moses, not eloquent and is slow of speech and of tongue. And because of this, he started to pray since he was 13, asking, God, in which areas do you want me to serve you? He prayed for many years, and one day, God revealed to him that he was to be a helper. He was in awe. He never knew that there was a gift of a helper. And he came across 1 Corinthians chapter 12 explaining the different functions of the body. Demas had found his purpose. He took what God has revealed to him. He dedicated the rest of his life to being a helper. Demas started gathering groups of people for meetings and invited gifted speakers to come and speak to the crowd. He would spend much of his time planning and doing the logistics and paying for the events and let outside speakers come to share the gospel. His thinking was this: preachers are few, but businessmen are many. If all businessmen can share the gospel, how great the harvest. His vision enabled him to become the founder of Full Gospel Business Men's Fellowship International, that now have presence in 85 countries and thousands of members to this day. We can see how a humble young man who prayed to be used by God became God's instrument in reaching millions and millions of people. There was one meeting that had him very perplexed. He invited a miracle healing evangelist as a speaker for 6 weeks. The speaker was very well spoken, and miracle healing would happen during the meetings. Demas already told the speaker up front that they would collect an offering for the speaker once a week, and the rest of the offering would be used to help pay for expenses such as facility rentals, etc. However, Demas soon realized that the speaker had an appetite for money, for his own monetary gains, as he would argue that the offering collected should all belong to him. At the last meeting of the 6 weeks, there were about 10,000 people gathering at the event, and the speaker decided to call an offering on his own accord. At the end of the meeting, the speaker ran to the back room where all the offering was and declared it all to be his personal belonging, and he started shuffling the offering into a bag that he brought in. The staff and the speaker started a heated disagreement about the offering. Just as they were about to get physical, Demas looked at the speaker. He saw that the speaker was like King Saul, the anointed one. So he instructed his staff to argue no more, but let the speaker take all the offering received that night. His staff were confused, but Demas later told his staff that God will bless those who gave an offering that night. However, the money that was taken would not be in God's delight. About 6 years later, the same speaker came to Demas in desperation and shared about his downfall and his current situation. He asked for some money from Demas so that he can go to another place. Just like how David have honored King Saul, Demas honored the evangelist and gave him some money. In another 3 years' time, Demas heard about the passing of the speaker. Brothers and sisters, we can learn from many things from other people's experiences. This speaker was very gifted, and God have used him to heal and save the lives of many. However, there was greed in his heart, just like Balaam in the Old Testament. There once was a retired sister who lived in Los Angeles who went around the country looking for gifted individuals. Whether it's a powerful speaker, miracle healer, or someone with prophetic words, she would then invite these individuals to different churches in Los Angeles to help lead different events and gatherings. She once said if she was to re-invite a speaker that she has invited in the past, she would have to spend some time with them again and to pray with them to make sure that their spiritual life is still in alignment with God before she would introduce them out to different churches. What was shocking is that she said, out of 100 of these individuals, only about 2 or 3 of them continue living their life the way it was lived previously. Brothers and sisters, we need to know that we are all very weak in our flesh. Secondly, we also need to know that those who are gifted power hitters, they are the ones that the enemy wants to take down first. These power hitters are on the front line battling for lost souls. And the enemy wants to attack those power hitters because if and when they stumble, they will take a bunch of people down with them. So brothers and sisters, we need to pray particularly for these who are serving the Lord, not to condemn them, but to pray especially for them, and that they will continue to be pure and humble and to walk in the light and the path of God. There is another thing we need to be aware of. Sometimes very gifted individuals easily become a celebrity within a church because of their gifts of miracle healing or prophetic words. The body of Christ would then turn to these people for guidance, for healing, or even quote-unquote fortune-telling, and would not come to ask God directly. Brothers and sisters, we are God's chosen, His people, and we all have God in us. He is your shepherd, and He doesn't need to speak to you through a medium. We are not supposed to always be drinking milk, needing diapers, needing someone to change our clothes. We're not supposed to maintain and remain where we are, where someone has to attend to our needs. Growing up should be a normal, natural process in life. If a child is healthy, when they are one, they're supposed to be walking like a toddler, not like an infant who can't even sit up straight. When you're five, you're supposed to be like a little children. We are to grow and mature in our spiritual lives as well. In the Bible, it says that we're supposed to be able to discern the good from the bad and to like what is good. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, it says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. We've seen Samson and Balaam's example in the Bible, and we talked about different gifted individuals and how they have failed. It all started with some minor weaknesses in their character, whether it's money, woman, sexual perversion, or substance abuse. It may have been introduced to them when they were young, or it may have been an indecent picture of an individual that they saw on accident, which developed a strong selfish desire. Some weaknesses may be outwardly expressive, while some are hidden, such as jealousy. If someone around you is honored or praised while you were forgotten, would you feel unappreciated? Brothers and sisters, we must know our weaknesses and start battling against them. Deal with them while you can, otherwise just one little weakness can ruin your life. Another weakness in character is the inability to receive feedback or criticism. When someone gives feedback or criticism, there are usually two different types of response. Those who can take it to their heart will thank you and maintain a healthy relationship with you, while the other group will start distancing themselves because they think that you don't like them anymore. For example, if we look at a parent-child relationship, when something is said to the child, it is because they love them and it's for their good. It's not because they hate them or dislike them. The ones who listen will grow and change and remain a good, healthy relationship with the person, while the other group of people will cause you to be very careful with your words, hoping not to offend them again. Brothers and sisters, God uses people to remind us through feedback or criticisms to help us to mature in life and are meant to awaken the slumber inside so that it will reveal light to the soul. Spiritual maturity is a must, and we must pay attention to see if we are growing in maturity. In what area should we be growing? More of Christ's love. More of His gentleness and humility. More faith like Christ. More power like Christ. More capable of enduring hardships and being persecuted. Spiritual maturity is to grow to the likeness of Jesus Christ. So we should be constantly thinking about God and hosting His presence and not be constantly thinking about how we can be using our gifts. When we gather, set your eyes on the Lord. Focus on His presence and treasure it. If we go and pray over somebody and they become healed, it is Christ who lives within us that heals them and is not by our own power. There are a couple of things we need to be mindful of when we are exercising our gifts. We need to be humble, to be empty out of our own agenda so that we may be used for His glory. Let's read from 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Let us also read from John chapter 6, verse 53 to 57. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For My flesh is true food, and My blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me, and I in him. as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. In 1 John chapter 5, we who has the Son has life. And in John chapter 6, it reads, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. We may have through him life from the start, but we need to continue to eat and drink of his body to mature and grow in life. In verse 56, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. You shall bear much fruit. Brothers and sisters, to eat and drink of his body, we must continuously spend time with the Lord and to be in his presence. And in doing so, we will continue to grow at a steady pace. If after 10 years, you are still an infant, then there must be a problem. In summary, not that gifts are not important. Gifts are important to fill the various needs of the body of Christ, so we as a body should be praying and asking God for the gifts. What is important here is that we need to be in the right stage, the healthy state of life that is growing and maturing, so that we may be able to receive and inherit the gifts that He chooses to give us. If we do not have a healthy spiritual life, having such gift is like an infant playing with knife. We will either hurt others or end up hurting ourselves. Lastly, we need to pay attention to our weaknesses in our characters and constantly praying and dealing with it. There was a pastor who was greatly used by God. He had an affair with another sister in church. When the pastor prayed, he still felt the presence of the Lord, so he thought to himself that maybe it's because his wife cannot assist him in ministry. So maybe that there is an exception to God's commandment. Maybe God gave him this woman to assist him in his ministry. Wrong! This is totally wrong. Brothers and sisters, there is no exception to God's commandments. God does not violate his own law and commandments. You may ask them, why does this person still have God's presence within him? If I was to explain, I would guess that because God is merciful and he is giving this person an opportunity to turn from his wicked ways, repent of his sin, so that he will be able to turn back to the Lord. Another thing, even if it's something small, if you lost your temper and you're reluctant to seek reconciliation, you may still have the gift that he has given you, but you will slowly lose the presence of the Lord. If we don't deal with our weaknesses in our character and think that God is still with us, even though he is a God of mercy and he will give us the opportunity to repent, but when judgment comes, he is also righteous and faithful, and he will be judging us with his words. In conclusion, it is very dangerous if we set our eyes on the gifts, but lose presence of the Lord. We must ask God to reveal to us conditions of our life, weaknesses in our characters, and give us a heart to change so that our minds can be renewed and transformed to be an instrument that can be used and delights the Father.
Let us end in prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to hear your words. And Lord, I just really thank you for the words that you have been spoken today. And Lord, I pray that you help us to be able to evaluate ourselves so that we may know if there are weaknesses in our character, whether or not it may be sins, it may be money, greed, selfish desires. Lord, I just really pray that you reveal to us in areas where we need to come and deal with those situations, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you help us to have the deeper hunger and the longing for you, Lord, so that we may know the desires of your heart, so that we may be able to serve with the gifts that you have measured out for us, God. And Lord, we pray that you help us to continue to really be able to eat and drink of your body, to continue to spend time with you, and to continue to grow in our spiritual walk with you, God, so that we may grow spiritually mature and not remain infants, Lord. Lord, we thank you for everything. We pray all this in your name. Amen.